is the Most Blessed Podcast, recorded live at Most Blessed Sacrament in Arlington, Texas. Hello.
Good morning.
Everyone, this is Sister Rosemary Stanton, and she is our guest today. We were talking about holy orders the last time on the podcast, and Monsignor and I started talking about nuns, and I think I asked on the podcast if nuns were part of holy orders, and he said no. And I think afterwards is when we started discussing, maybe we should get a nun in here. And Monsignor knows Rosemary Stanton, Sister Rosemary Stanton, I'm sorry. And so it's very nice to have you in here.
Well, it is wonderful to be here with you.
Oh,
I love to share these kind of things.
Well, I wish I could put a, I don't think I can, but I wish I could put a picture on the little podcast thing so they would see your face, because you just radiate joy.
Well, thank you.
So how did you know you wanted to be a nun?
I believe that I finally realized during my high school years, towards the end of my high school years, I always had a real sense of others. And even being a little girl, I always wanted to help others. But then I grew up, my high school years, I grew up in the period of the Second Vatican Council, which encouraged the laity to become more involved in the church, in the world. And we studied those documents in high school. And so we were pretty much influenced by that message of caring for God and the world and others. A real sense of social awareness of what other people were going through. I was always active in the church as much as I could. I would go to Mass whenever I could during the week. Prayed my daily rosary. And but I had a sense as I got probably towards my senior year, I would like sometimes to be quiet and be by myself. And it may not have been what some people think is prayer, but I do believe being with God alone out in nature, you know, that I was sort of absorbing God's presence. And so I was pretty sure by the end of high school that I probably was being called to be a sister, to enter religious life, but I wanted to give my life another chance. So I went to college for a year. But at the end of that first year of college, I made the final decision. I think, I really don't think anyone is ever sure. You know, we go through life trying to be faithful to what God is showing us and where God is leading us. But we just move forward in trust, trying to be faithful to that and to know that, God, I'm very aware how much God showed me through the events in my life, the events of the world all around me, the struggles people were going through, and also the pull of my heart that I know God was calling me deep within.
I love that pull of the heart.
Yeah.
It's much easier for me to, respond to that.
Yeah.
Now, you went to high school at?
I went to Nolan Catholic High School.
And who was one of your classmates?
And Monsignor Joe was one of my classmates.
That was a holy class y'all had. Do you know how many sisters and priests came out of your class, or are y'all the only two?
No, in our class, we also have Father Michael Gallagher, who's a Jesuit priest.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So as far as I know, it would be Monsignor Joe, Father Michael Gallagher, and myself. I don't know of another one who became a sister out of our class.
I think Father Gallagher has... Oh, that may be a different Father Gallagher. I was going to say, I think Father Gallagher has done a retreat here, but or a mission, a parish mission.
Oh, okay.
I think
maybe
it's
another.
Simeon Gallagher is the one I'm thinking of. So
Father Michael has worked many, many, many years with the Jesuit Refugee Service.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And so what is the process for becoming a nun?
The first thing is to get to know the sisters in some way, And so we call that a period of aspirancy. Aspirancy, you aspire to something. Mm-hmm. You're not too mm-hmm. sure what mm-hmm. it is or where you're going with it. And so you take time, and usually it's a period of at least 1 year. Sometimes it's two or three. I feel my high school years were almost like an aspirancy because I was around the sisters mm-hmm. all the time.
There was a convent associated with the school, uh-huh. is that right?
Yeah, the sisters, they were probably 12 to 15 who lived at the convent there.
Oh, wow.
So I went to Catholic school from grade one, and so I was with the Sisters of St. Mary all of my school life. And so a time of aspirancy. And after that, we call it a time of postulancy. And it's usually a year-long time where you participate more in a community life of the sisters in terms of, by that time we have designated and special moments of prayer that we're called to live with the sisters. And slowly getting to know a little bit about the life of the sisters. Then after that, you enter the novitiate, and it's a 2-year period where you study more closely the documents of our religious order, our religious congregation, the constitutions, which I'll mention in a little bit later, about prayer life. We have more times of the first year of novitiate, you don't have any outside apostolate, so you have more specific times of meditation and prayer okay. and more times of spiritual.
And are you just
deepening.
In the convent at that time?
Yes, you spend most of the time okay. in the novitiate within the convent. You also study theology. Like the group that I was in, we would go out a couple of times a week, take theology classes in different places. Hmm. So it's a real deepening of our spiritual life and educating us even more in theology and the life of the church. After the novitiate, then you make what we call a temporary profession of vows, although vows are forever. But the church gives us this time because it's still a time of formation. And then you get into a more active period of life where you may have some ministry. You may be studying depending on what your education is until that point. And you share even more fully in the life of the sisters. And you usually do that 1 year at a time for 3 years.
Okay.
And then after the third year, you commit yourself for 3 more years. And at the end of that, you're discerning all these years are for discernment with
right.
the one who's helping you and with God to see if this is really what God is calling you to. After that 3-year commitment, then you can make your final profession, which are the final vows in the church, to God in the church. Mm. And yeah, so it's a long process, but it's a very wise
right,
length.
Right. It sounds like it. I mean, I would think it would need to be because you want to be sure.
That's right.
So
as sure as you can be.
Yes, as sure as you can be.
Which
yes.
is true. Yeah.
Now, are you in an order of nuns? Do you live in a convent or a house? I'm not sure of the proper terminology because I did not grow up Catholic. I came into the church through RCIA. So
okay, good.
My experience with nuns is very limited. So
okay.
I don't even know the proper terminology. But
well, okay. First of all, I'll tell you, there is a difference between nuns and sisters.
Oh, okay.
You know, they're the Carmelite. There's a Carmelite mm-hmm, monastery mm-hmm. here in Arlington.
Uh-huh.
They are Carmelite nuns.
Okay.
They are part of a religious order that is contemplative and cloistered, which means that they really have their calling and their ministry is a life of prayer, service to God and to others through prayer, through study, and longer periods of silence. They are not called to go out to be actively working in different areas of the life of the church.
Okay.
So their mission is really a contemplative, where they spend a lot of time in prayer and silence, deepening of spirituality, and that's their mission from God. So they're called nuns. So nuns live in monasteries.
Okay.
Sisters live in convents. So I'm part of a religious congregation, the Sisters of St. Mary of Namur, which is the town in Belgium that it was founded in around the time of the French Revolution. There are a lot of active, apostolic religious orders that were founded around the time of the French Revolution, the older congregations. So sisters are what you call those of us who are in apostolic religious life, which means we do, and we'll talk about that later, we do have times of intense prayer, quiet, and spiritual deepening and theological studies. But we are called to be active. And so many of you know, many of the sisters had schools, Catholic schools.
Right,
they staff the schools. There are sisters who work in parishes that work in pastoral care. There are sisters who are nurses or doctors in the medical service to the people. So we are an apostolic religious congregation.
And how many of you are there?
Okay. We are, I belong to an international congregation. So we have sisters in 9 countries of the world.
Wow.
But the whole total of us is about 400 right now.
Oh, okay.
And we are dispersed throughout the world in Africa, Brazil, Belgium, the United Kingdom, Canada, the eastern part of the U.S., the southern part.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. What's a typical day like in your life?
Okay, that's a good question. In a way, there's not always a typical day in the life of an apostolic sister.
Okay.
Religious, like we are. But there are certain things that always happen. Every morning, have a time of quiet meditation, personal prayer, 45 minutes to an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Then we gather together for what we call Lauds, which is the morning office of the prayer of the church.
Okay.
This is just a little parenthesis, but priests, religious men, religious women, sisters, monks, sisters who are in monasteries, we all pray every day the prayer of the church. And many of the laity are welcome and encouraged to pray this prayer, which is a beautiful prayer. So we do the morning, we call it the office, Lauds in the morning. And then in the evening, we have what we call Vespers, which is the evening prayer together. So in community, we pray, we each have our personal meditation time. We have morning prayer together in community.
Mm-hmm.
When we're fortunate enough to have a daily mass, we have as much as possible. And little parentheses, this year, we have been extremely blessed at the convent where I live. It's a retirement center. So we were able to, the bishop assigned us a priest who throughout the pandemic came.
Oh, that's nice.
To be with us, to keep the sisters safe, but he wanted to give them the opportunity. So, yeah.
Oh,
and so when we can, when it's possible, we have daily mass.
Very good. You're always welcome to come to daily mass.
Oh, here. I know. And sometimes we do go to a parish. We live close to St. Andrews, so every once in a while there. But also, so throughout the day, just depends on what our ministry is. Until 2 years ago, I was working full-time at Nolan in the campus ministry.
Oh, okay.
On the campus ministry team.
Okay.
I'm also a spiritual director. And so I had, before the pandemic, I had 3 or 4 people that would come regularly, and I would accompany them spiritually. I give retreats, and so sometimes, you know, every few months I would be called to give a day of retreat or a morning of retreat. So here in the U.S., the sisters are involved in different ministries, in parishes, in healthcare, spiritual direction in retreats, things like that. we used the sisters that I belong to, our congregation, was the majority of the sisters were involved in education in schools. And that is no longer the case.
Right.
So.
Right.
Anyway.
So I noticed you do not have on a habit. Mm-hmm. Now, is that a sister versus nun kind of thing also? Or is it a personal choice? Or does your order just not wear a habit? Explain that a little bit.
It's a very good question. Some religious orders, and for example, the Dominican sisters, Benedictine sisters, the Carmelites, the orders, a lot of them have continued to wear a habit that is kind of modified, similar to what the founders of their communities wore. And, you know, the Dominican sisters, they teach in a lot of the elementary schools in our diocese, and two of them are working at Nolan right now. So their habit is modified version of, like, what St. Dominic, when the Order of Preachers began.
Okay.
Okay. And so our sisters, most sisters, I believe, at the very beginning of their foundation wore religious habits. And throughout the time, there has always been a modified habit. In 1985, a lot of the religious communities, women's orders that were congregations like us, apostolic, we were asked to revise our constitutions and update them. We live by constitutions or rule, the rule of our life.
Okay.
Okay. And it's like the program for our life with, it speaks about different areas of our life, our prayer life, our life of ministry, our life of vows, the organization of how we're organized. Mm-hmm.
And it's called a constitution.
The constitution.
Like we have in the United States.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
It's not quite
right.
like
it
that
makes
one.
Sense.
But so it is. It kind of, and so, you know, we'd give that little booklet to someone who's interested in us. So in 1985, when they revised the Constitution, and this was happening in many orders. Now, the way it's stated in our constitutions is the sisters will dress simply with or without a veil, okay. but they will all wear the cross of the congregation.
Okay.
Someone designed this cross for our sisters many years ago. So all throughout the world, our sisters have this cross.
Oh, wow.
And most of the provinces, the areas of where our sisters live, most of them are wearing very simple clothing, close to what the women wear in their, like our African sisters, mm-hmm. you know, the women, they have that much, the panyas that
yes.
they wrap around.
Yes.
Our sisters dress like that as well.
Okay.
Very simply, but that's just what it is. So that's what our religious congregation says about our lives. So I used to wear a habit many years ago, and probably till about, well, I guess till the 90s, late 90s, when I was living and working in Brazil. I've spent most of my life out of the country.
Oh, wow.
Working with our sisters outside of the country. And I was in Brazil at the time, and the sisters decided there that it was time to simplify the habit. And so that's when we started just wearing a skirt and a blouse.
Okay. Well, yeah. That would lead me to my next question.
Okay.
What kind of exciting things have you gotten to do as a nun?
Oh, gosh. Exciting.
Or as a sister, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. You know what? I answer to both.
Okay.
As we all do. It's a technologue. It's just a... exciting things. Well, I've been extremely blessed. I have been extremely blessed from the beginning. As a young sister, I was sent to Africa, to Democratic Republic of Congo, where we had a community of sisters in young sisters in formation, besides the other sisters who were working in the mission, for a time of formation. So that's where I first met in the early 1970s sisters from all over the world, because we came there to live together and work together.
Oh, wow.
So I spent 9 years in Africa, and then we opened missions in Brazil, the northeastern part of Brazil, and I was part of the beginning. So I spent 26 years there.
Oh, wow.
And so that was a really wonderful time. of my life as far as living my religious life with our Brazilian sisters, but living with the people. The area that we lived in, we lived very closely with the people. And at that time, there were many fewer priests in that area. So mm-hmm. The sisters helped administrate life in the parishes and so we had the opportunity to work a lot with the people. And so I love that very much. I've loved when I came back here, I helped with religious formation a while. And then I went back to Nolan to work in campus ministry, where I worked there for the last, 2 years ago, until last year, actually. It's only been a year. For 15 years in campus ministry and pastoral care. So I loved all that.
Have you gotten to meet the Pope?
Well, let me tell you. I was going to tell you my latest exciting adventure.
Okay.
From 2013 through 2019, I served on the general council of our religious congregation. And we're like the leadership, the administrative mm-hmm. team for the whole order throughout the world.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I work several months a year out of Belgium, where our mother house is, with five other sisters from different countries. We have a general superior, then we have the counselors, and I was one of the counselors. The last year of my term, I was able to go to Rome with our general superior, who was going for meetings. And it was just to be able to go. I had never been to Rome. And a lot of the sisters in Belgium have, because it's so accessible.
Right.
But my dream has always been, when I was in high school, my best friend and I, our dream was to go to Rome, and never did.
Aww.
And so I was invited to accompany her. And since she was at meetings all day, I was free all day. And I spent 5 days walking the streets of Rome, going to St. Peter's Square every day, going into St. Peter's, the Basilica. I had the Mass at John Paul II's altar in St. Peter's. And I went to a general audience on the plaza of St. Peter. And there are too many wonderful details to tell you, but I was offered a place very near where the Pope and the Pope Mobile passed. And I probably saw Pope Francis as close as you are to me right now.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah.
And had, the apostolic blessing. It's beautiful because he offers the apostolic blessing for us who are there at the that day, but also for all those we bring with us in thoughts and prayers.
Oh.
And so, was able to get the apostolic blessing also, I believe in that, for our sisters and my family and friends. And so that has been the latest highlight in my life. I'd walk the streets of Rome and go into every church. And, I met so many incredible people, and, you're just at the center of the Catholic.
Oh, wow.
The foundation of our faith, that's where it is.
Oh.
So that probably has been the highlight of my last few years.
Oh, wow. That is impressive. And it's a great place to end our first part of our talk together. So we will come back in just a little bit with another part. Thank you for listening. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, please send them to mbspodcast@mbs.church. Have a blessed day.